You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are going to learn about scholarships in the Central Illinois District today as part of our Set Apart to Serve conversation.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Patrick Gums. He's Mission Executive for Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor Gums, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Also joining us today, Nicholas Siebert. He's a vicar at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois. Welcome to The Coffee Hour, Vicar Siebert.
Thank you.
And also joining us today, Oliver Broughton. He's a freshman attending Concordia University, Nebraska. Oliver, welcome.
Hey, good to be here.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us for our Set Apart to Serve conversation. We're going to talk about what's going on in the Central Illinois District and supporting future church workers. Pastor Gums, tell us about what you get to do in the Central Illinois District.
So, as mission exec and do a little bit of operations as well. So working with campus ministries and deaf ministry and prison ministry and lots of different things that go on in the Central Illinois District at that district level. And then when it comes to scholarships, part of the scholarship committee, work with the endowment board that helps fund that scholarship committee and fund and work with a bunch of different people across the district to encourage church workers and encourage those who are interested in church work and help them get funded.
Let's talk about your own journey into pastoral ministry. Who and what influenced you to consider pastoral ministry?
Sure. And there's been several influences, as you can imagine, most church workers have more than one. I look back on my pre-seminary career and people like Pastor Barton at University Lutheran in West Lafayette played a large role while I was an undergrad. Current missionary to Belize, Michael Wildauer, was a vicar at my home congregation during my high school years and played a role getting me involved in ongoing Ambassadors for Christ and sort of helping and mentoring me a little bit as to theological resources, and told me to buy a Book of Concord and other things, and off I went and kind of helped grow that theological zeal that helped lead me into the ministry.
Nick, let's talk about your formation. What has Christian formation looked like for you? Home and church and school, all those things. What has Christian formation looked like for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Quincy, Illinois. So I'm from the Central Illinois District. That's where my vicarage is now. And really, formation has looked like just strong men and women in my life who have just influenced me in such a way to love Christ and love my neighbor. I can think of growing up, I had the same pastor the entire time, Marlon Rumpfer. And so that was tremendous, and he was an amazing pastor. And Mike Fieberkorn as well. And most recently, right before I came to seminary, Pastor Matt Riley got out of the program, RAR program, and he helped me a lot to kind of enter that. And so really, it's just strong men and women in my life. And I have to call out my great grandma as well. She influenced me quite a bit in keeping my faith strong throughout my life.
Oliver, what has Christian formation looked like for you?
So my dad's a pastor, so I've kind of grown up in it all the time. And I would have to agree with Nick. I mean, my family is very, I think you'd call it a very staunchly Lutheran family. Everybody's Lutheran everywhere. And so having that, and then having a really, really solid church family, having a very, very good Christian education, I was in a bunch of Christian homeschool co-ops and stuff like that, has really influenced me a lot. But a lot of seeing what dad does got me motivated to go into ministry, and I've always been kind of a theology nerd too, so that didn't hurt at all.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about why both of you are considering or pursuing church work. What and who influenced you to consider church work, and what was that influence? What was it about the relationship or the location or the situation that really encouraged you to pursue church work? Oliver?
Yeah, so like I said, my dad dad's been in church, in the ministry for as long as I can remember. And I think he graduated the year I was born. So literally all of my life. And so I always loved discussions he would have around the table with his pastor friends, things like that. I would eavesdrop quite a lot, get as much as I could in there. But it was one of those things I kind of went back and forth on. Like, do I really want to just do what dad does? Because I was like, well, that's, you're just being lazy. You just don't want to find something else. And it wasn't until he had to visit son of the congregation, hurt himself in a basketball game or something like that. It was very, very late at night. And dad is one of those guys who goes to bed very, very early. And he got up anyway, went to see him and pray with him and be with him. It wasn't even that serious. But that was one of those things that I'm like, that's really cool. I want to be doing that. And it's more than just being a theology nerd. Like, there's the other aspects to it too. And that is what kind of decided for me.
Yeah. Nick, what about you? What were the situations and the people who really encouraged you to pursue church work?
Yeah. So interestingly, I don't come from a family of any pastors that I'm aware of. And so really, I give it to the fact that I was raised in a household that really respected raising their kids in a proper way of loving their neighbor, respecting people. And that's my parents, and that goes to my grandma, my great-grandma, and so on. And I have found that really drove me to seek ministry, because I can do that as a profession where I just love on people. I'm able to bring them the word and the sacrament. I think just right now in Vicarage, I'm getting a taste of what that's like, especially in bringing the word to our shut-ins. Just caring for them right now has been such a joy to me, being able to visit them, hear their stories, and when they're not necessarily able to get to church, but bring a little bit of church to them. So that's been a great blessing.
So Nick, you are on Vicarage. For our listeners, help them understand where that is in the preparation and the formation of a church worker. This is a light at the end of the tunnel in terms of church worker formation, right?
It is, very much so. So I've been in classes for a couple of years now at the seminary, and then you go out into the field. It's been easier to explain it as an internship, but it really is a vicarage where you study underneath of a pastor, and you, I call it doing the church things. While at seminary, you're studying and you're getting all of the knowledge that you need to do, you need to know, and then going out into the field on Vicarage is where you get to preach more, and you get to do the shut-in visits and the hospital visits and get to know the atmosphere around church work a lot more than you do at the seminary.
In terms of church worker formation, Oliver, you're kind of on the other end of that, the front end. Tell us a little bit about where you are in that process of becoming a church worker.
Yeah, very much so. Nick is the seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Well, I just went into the tunnel, and it's a very, very long and dark tunnel, if I'm going to be completely honest. So, I have my, 4 years. I need to get a bachelor's degree. So I'm going to do my graphic design degree here at Concordia, Nebraska, and then it's on to seminary. And so I'll get, I believe it's 2 years, and then I'll do Vicarage, and then another year. So I am just starting. Like, today's the first day of class. So I had my first three college classes today. I was in the sunlight a minute ago, and now I'm in the tunnel. It's very, very much at the beginning here for me, but it's good. I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Now, you mentioned that you are doing graphic design. Tell us a little bit about what you're looking forward to for over the next few years at Concordia, Nebraska.
Yeah, the graphic design degree is apparently it's one major, but it's enough credits for two majors. So, of course I would do that. I'm like, oh yeah, let's just do whatever's got the most involved in it. But yeah, so I have that in terms of classes, a lot of art classes. I think I'm going to do some of the marketing side of things, just so that it kind of makes that skill set a little bit more applicable in most business scenarios. But my thought process with that basically is, if I'm going to be at seminary, I could freelance, I could kind of do as a side hustle type thing, not be a one-trick pony necessarily. I'm going to learn theology in seminary, so I'm not going to try too hard to get it before then if I'm going to learn anyway there.
Pastor Gums, tell us about what the Central Illinois District is doing to encourage and recruit church workers.
Yeah, that is a full team effort. I was looking at all the different pieces of that. And so our education executive, he spends a lot of time sending resources to elementary school principals. And that's where he sees the importance of getting that set apart to serve material to grade school kids to start thinking about Lutheran teachers, Lutheran principals, Lutheran pastors and DCEs and DCMs. We have our stewardship coordinator who does gift coordination for Scholarship Sunday, so that we get out in the congregations, not only that they can help our students pursue church work, but then they also get to start a conversation at the beginning of May. So it's the first Sunday in May every year, and congregations are encouraged to talk about church work vocations as well as support scholarship fund. We have the campus pastors are all looking for young men and women who could take their college majors and serve somewhere. We have our deaf ministry pastor who is actively looking for more and more students and adults who can go into deaf ministry programs. We have a deaconess student who will be second career at the EIIT program out of Concordia, St. Louis, who's working on becoming a deaf ministry deaconess. And so even our bookkeeper serves on the endowment board that helps fund the scholarship fund. And so everybody in the office in some way, shape, or form is doing something to help serve or help get the word out about church work vocations and getting people aware of the opportunities to be of service to the church beyond just a pastor in a pulpit.
You've mentioned scholarships. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment with the Central Illinois District here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation, and we are talking with Reverend Patrick Gums. He's Mission Executive for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Church Work students as well. Nicholas Siebert, he's Vicar at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois, and Oliver Broughton, a freshman attending Concordia University, Nebraska. Now, Pastor Gums, you mentioned a scholarship. Tell us a little bit about the scholarship program for Central Illinois District Church Work students.
Sure. So the scholarship program at the district level, we take in applications from both undergraduate students and seminary students, and we get applications in from the universities and seminaries, and they tell us the financial need, and then we do some math and we figure out how much money we have available and what the unmet need is from the schools, and we do some math and we sit down and we process those applications. And every year we get funding from a couple of different trusts. We get funding from the LWML, which is a huge help to our district scholarship. They usually chip in almost a quarter of our available scholarship funds every year. So I have to give a big shout out to the LWML in Central Illinois District. They are a huge contributor to the success of this program. And then we've had a strong investment in an endowment fund since, I believe, 2006. And the stewardship of that committee that runs that endowment board or endowment fund with local banks and different things has really allowed that to grow to the point where we now are able to receive more each year than we've actually put into the fund. So the endowment has really kicked off over the last almost 20 years, and now we have a very strong, steady income for this scholarship program, especially as it's been growing over the last several years. So I was looking at historical applications, and so this year we have 29 students receiving student aid from the district. Last year it was 17, the year before that it was 19, and so we are seeing a large growth over this last 365 days of a lot more students coming in. 10 freshmen at our Concordias have come from the Concordia district, or from the Central Illinois district, and compared that to 4 years ago when we only had 6 undergrads all together, we now have 10 freshmen just 4 years later. So we're really excited about how Central Illinois is bringing students into the Concordia programs and then into seminaries.
Why is it a priority for the Central Illinois District to have this type of scholarship fund for students?
Oh, it's vital for the life of every district to have to be encouraging church workers, as we're aware of the demographic shifts, we're aware of the pastoral bell curve that we have both in our district and across the synod, where we have a lot of pastors and church workers that are approaching retirement and not as many coming in, and that affects every district in the synod, but we're seeing it here in the Central Illinois district, where we're going to need more organists, we're going to need more teachers, we're going to need more pastors, just to fill those who are retiring, and so it's vitally important for the health of the district and the health of the congregations to have those positions be able to be filled in the next 5 to 10 years.
How have you connected with and encouraged congregations to be a part of this set apart to serve culture and raising up future church workers?
Well, it's definitely a part of every time, whether it's myself or President Eddie or Pastor Ken Sherb, when we go out and do congregational pulpit supply, because all three of us will go out and preach sometimes 2-3 times a month, just covering vacations and pulpits and different things that happen. And so when we have the Bible study hour, we're talking about church workers. We're talking about the Set Apart to Serve initiative. We're talking about what the district is doing with scholarships and with promoting church work. And so we're getting out into the congregation levels as we go and visit. Our education executive is working with principals and schools. And so that message is getting into the schools as well. And so we're continually talking about the need and the opportunity.
All right, Nick and Oliver, let's talk to you guys about how you learned about these scholarships, what was the application process like, and how they've benefited you. So, Nick, how did you learn about it, and what was that application process like? How has it benefited you so far?
Yeah, so I learned about it through the seminary itself, actually. It's part of our application process and financial application, financial aid application. And so from there, it's a simple form that you fill out. They make it rather easy on us, which is a blessing. It's a form that we fill out and send off to the district, and then they take care of it from there.
Oliver, what about you? What has the benefit been like for you?
Yeah, it's been great. I have to agree with Nick. I didn't find it. I heard about it from the CUNE, my financial aid guy. He was like, well, make sure you check your district and see what they have. And I actually had a little bit of trouble finding it on the Central Illinois District website. I had to talk to some other guys, but I got it. And like Nick said, it was super duper easy form to fill out. It's like a page, and you fill it out, send it in. The school does their part. The CID guys do their part, and it's done and dusted. And it's been super great. College isn't cheap, so it's been really nice to not have that financial burning, especially just going into your first year and seeing, okay, well, this is not going to be as bad as, you know, everybody else is saying it's going to be.
How has that made a difference for you, Nick, in this process of pastoral formation? How has having the support of your district made a difference for you?
Well, it's kind of a twofold blessing. It's first that knowing that there are people behind me supporting me at the district level, right, that they're not only offering prayers and support for their church workers, but also that they have the ability to support us financially. And what that looks like is that tuition is free at this seminary, which is a huge blessing. Because let's be honest, once you get into those higher levels of education, finances become much more difficult. And so scholarships like this, allowing us to go to the seminary for free, is a huge blessing.
Oliver, how's it making a difference for you? You mentioned it's relief not having a financial burden.
Yeah, it's lightened the load. I took a gap year between high school and starting, just to kind of save money and whatnot. And I mean, looking at it, that is going to be able to push me with all of the Central Illinois District scholarship and whatnot. I'm going to be able to make that last for quite some time. And so that's nice, not having to take out loans my first year and probably for a couple of years here for scholarships, if ever.
Pastor Gums, you mentioned that it's important for all of the districts to have support like this for church workers. What would you say to other LCMS districts to encourage them to also have church work scholarships?
Well, I know that many districts do support church workers. I remember going through seminary myself, and the Indiana district had support for church workers, though it came after. So they waited until we were done with the program, and then the funds came for 3 to 4 years after that for the seminary studies, which has its pros and cons. I really like that Central Illinois District is providing the funds while they're in school, just so there's no interest attached to those things, waiting for the student loans to, you know, finish and then start getting some aid in there. And I think one of the things that allows Central Illinois to continue to do this and to do it well is having an endowment fund established and getting that funded. And as I noted, you know, it took us maybe 10, 15 years to really start seeing it compound for us. But the longer the districts wait to sort of make those sort kind of investments, the more hardship they're going to have trying to get those scholarships funded. And I would encourage other districts to look at ways to either establish an endowment fund or establish some sort of thing that can continue to grow as they continue to fund students. I think that would be also helpful.
Nick, you're on Vicarage now. What's next, or what are you looking forward to in the remainder of your Vicarage? I gather you're just starting Vicarage, correct?
Yeah, so I started June or July 1st.
So yeah, what are you looking forward to this year?
I am very excited for all the opportunities just to serve the people. They have an event on Wednesdays where they have, it's called Crossroads, and it just brings multiple generations of people together. You have youth and you have your older adults and you have elderly people. They all come together and it is a blessing. And so I'm excited for that. There's also a school attached. And so I am excited to be able to learn what the classroom's like and to teach. I'll be helping with Bible studies and confirmation. I'll soon be teaching a Bible study on hope. And so all of these things and preaching, and I've already mentioned visiting the people. There's so many things that I am just very excited for.
Oliver, first year at Concordia University, Nebraska. What are you looking forward to most this year?
Just getting into classes finally. They have a whole launch weekend where they get you hyped and hyped and hyped. And it's like, all right, it's been hyped for 4 days now. Let's get into the meat of this. Let's get studying. So I'm excited to do that. Just to dive into my classes and get on this path. And let's get this train rolling.
How can church workers really continue to form and encourage youth to consider full-time church work from each of your perspectives? Pastor Gums?
I think it comes from speaking well of the offices, first and foremost. Be a pastor who talks well of the pastoral office. Be a teacher who speaks well of the teaching office, and tell the kids and the youth and the adults around you that about the benefits, and speak well of the things you get to do and the joys that come with these ministries and these opportunities. As we heard from the students, you know, that visiting with people and these encounters of bringing Christ to people in times of need, those both are things that both Nick and Oliver mentioned, is that work of coming alongside of during hardship and coming alongside of during these trials, and the joy that comes in bringing that gospel light to personal darkness. you know, talking about that and bringing the energy and the joy of ministry and all these sort of things that teachers and church workers and pastors get to do, and telling those stories to those who will listen and let them see and hear the joy and the love that comes behind those words.
Mm-hmm. Nick, from your perspective, how can the church continue to form and encourage young people to consider church work?
Yeah, as I reflect on my own stories and my own encounters with just strong men and women in the faith, and so as the church continues to raise and keep her eyes on Christ, continuing the formation of those strong men and women so that they may continue to form the next generation.
And Oliver, what about you from your perspective?
Yeah, I think one thing that's helped me is, and would help a lot of other young men. I know a lot of my friends are kind of on the fence about this kind of thing. And I think sometimes they get a sense that you have to be a theology geek to be a pastor and that you have to kind of know everything beforehand, I guess. I don't know. There's a certain idea that that's what you need to do to be a pastor and that you have to be kind of like a weird guy. And that's not at all true. You can just be a normal dude who loves God and loves God's word and wants to teach more people about it. And so that has helped me. And I mean, there's so many guys here at Concordia Seward that they're just normal guys and they want to go and be in the church and help out with, you know, spreading the gospel. So I think saying that, you know, you don't have to fit a certain like nerd brainy level to do this. I think that would help a lot.
There's the quote for the day.
Yeah. Not wrong though.
You can be normal dude
and
become a pastor.
Church needs right? Normal dudes too.
This is true.
Oliver Broughton, a freshman attending Concordia University, Nebraska. Oliver, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you guys for having me. This has been great.
Nicholas Siebert, a vicar at Our Savior Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois. Thanks so much for joining us today, Nicholas.
Yes, thank you so much. God's blessings.
And the Reverend Patrick Gums, Mission Executive for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Pastor Gums, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great opportunity.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.